Welcome back to another episode of the Red Room Podcast, man. New week, new content. Y'all already know episode 75. Appreciate everybody who tuned in, listen to the podcast. I really do appreciate it. Y'all been asking where we went. We went on a brief hiatus. Shout out to the producer, Jahari, man. You know, we already back in the building. So, we gonna do what it do, man. It just feels so good to be back in front of a mic, to be able to talk to y'all. I feel like I got this whole new energy. It feels good, y'all. I've been feeling great. I hope everybody had a good Christmas, good New Year. People who been making them New Year's resolutions, I real deal hope that y'all stick to them. Don't let nobody tell y'all different. If people, you starting a New Year's resolution, you ain't gonna stick to it. Fuck that. Keep that energy away from you, man. Bring that positivity. I hope y'all stick with everything that y'all said y'all gonna do. Me personally, I don't do New Year's resolutions. Anything that I feel like I need to bring into the new year, I just started a couple of months earlier. Any changes I need to make, and I bring it into the new year with me, man. That way I ain't gotta make no changes, try to switch nothing up out the blue. That's why these past couple months, man, I've been on a hiatus from a lot of shit, and I'm back to the old AJ. I feel like I'm back to saying bitches and hoes. It feels great. But yeah, man, I hope y'all did have a good Christmas and everything. My Christmas was dope. Got to spend time with the fam. My brothers came down from school. They was up at A&M in Huntsville, man. It was good seeing them, chilling with them for a while. Christmas was dope. I got two records, man. I got my Mos Def record. That was a good one. And I got my Jill Scott record finally, man. Who is Jill Scott? And just got to kick it with the fam. It was dope. New Year's was cool. It was all right. I feel like this New Year's, first off, I really didn't do shit, y'all. I feel like I done did it all when it comes to New Year's. I done partied every New Year's Eve for the past, I don't know how many years. I mean, party, y'all. I couldn't do shit the next day. We didn't drink, shot our guns. And this year, I was just like, look, I ain't got the time for all that. I'm going to just kick it at the crib. When that bitch hit 12 o'clock, shit, my daddy popped that champagne. We drank that champagne. We were drinking like early in the day, but it wasn't that major. You know, we were smoking. But when 12 hit, like I said, my daddy popped that champagne. We drank. We kicked it in the yard, smoked a little bit. Took it on in, bro. It ain't much you can do. My little brother shot their guns. And, you know, it is what it is. So, that was good. I hope everybody was safe. I hope everybody brought all their loved ones into the new year with them. If you did not, man, you have my sincere condolences. I just hope everybody continuing to be safe out here, man. But what I did do over these past few months is I took a step back from a lot. I took a hiatus from music. Music was overwhelming to me for a while, man. I felt like it was such an obligation doing all this, that, and the third with music. So I got to the point to where I got in the car, bro. I didn't want to listen to no music. It was just so much. And that ain't me. So I felt like something had to change. So I took a hiatus from that. And I'm back, bro. Ain't like I ain't listening to no music. I've been listening to a lot of good music, a lot of good artists, a lot of stuff we got to talk about. A lot of artists I'm going to put y'all on. It's been great, man. Great in the world of music. But I took a step back from family, friends. I straight up been hustling, y'all. I've been hustling, getting my money up. I feel good. I done made a lot of changes. I caught COVID. Shit, my whole family caught COVID for real, man. My mama, my sister, my little brother, my other sister got it now. I caught it and wasn't that bad for me. Matter of fact, by the time I took the test, the doctor was like, yeah, man, you didn't show any symptoms. You didn't have a fever, none of that shit. So honestly, if you take another one in 5 days, you can go back to work. That shit kind of stupid to me, but you know, it is what it is. I took another test. Shit, that bitch gonna be negative than a motherfucker. And we gonna do what it do, bro. But all in all, I feel great. Caught COVID. But really, the world has been wilding over these past couple months, man. Like, and I just been sitting back, taking it all in, watching it. A lot of stuff just been tickling me, bro. Like, aside from a lot of good music, the debates and shit been going on in the media. Jay-Z and Wayne debate. People been putting out Jay-Z. people been putting down Wayne. A lot of just situations. Kodak smashing in the damn, whatchamacallit, smashing at a hockey game. The Drake situation. We lost Sidney Poitier. We lost Dolph. I'm a damn sure talk about that, man. And we lost Betty White. It's just so much that been going on. I've been sitting back taking it all in. Then I watched the Bama game early, man, watching football. We lost. You know, it is what it is. I'm a Bama fan to the death of me. We lost the better team. One, Georgia deserved that shit. Shout out to them. First time they done won the finals or championship in 40 years. Congrats to them. You know, we'll come back stronger next year, bro. But aside from that, like I said, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, y'all. We're going to catch up. We're going to do what it do. You already know, Red Room Podcast. Like I said, man, we did have a few losses going into the new year. And in the new year, man, we lost Sidney Poitier. He passed at the age of 94. For y'all who don't know, Sidney Poitier, great American actor, great black actor, man. Broke major thresholds for black people in the world of acting, in the Academy world, and black actors all around, being the first black man to win an Academy Award for Best Actor, which is still major to this day, just for the simple fact that only three other black men to won that award in the last, like, 50-plus years, man. And they were kind of recent. Like, they were really recent when you look at it in, you know, comparison, like, in retrospect, because Denzel won it for Training Day, Jamie Foxx won it for Ray, and Forrest Whitaker won it for The Last King of Scotland. And that's, I think that's crazy, man. It had been a lot of black actors who have been nominated, Chadwick Boseman, James Earl Jones, plenty of actors that, names that you just know whenever you hear them, like whenever they're brought up, you know exactly who it is. But unfortunately, they haven't actually won the award. So just to think about it like that and break it down, he broke major thresholds, knocked down walls for black actors all around, man. So salute to him. Shout out to Sidney Poitier. Rest in peace. Condolences to the fam. Also, man, we lost Betty White. I know y'all thinking, like, oh, it's supposed to be for black people. She ain't black. Man, the black folk fuck with Betty White, bro. Like, we fuck with Betty White. That's just how it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were all rooting for her to reach her 100th birthday. And she just did, man. We lost on New Year's Eve. And it was wild because it shocked the world, bro. Like, it was crazy. It threw everybody off. But like I said, man, we lost, 99 years. That's a hell of a life, bro. I still remember, and I fought with Betty for the simple fact that she spoke with her actions and her words, and she fucked with black people heavy. She constantly broke, like, TV just for having black people on TV with her. Like, and people didn't like, but white people didn't like that shit. And she was like, fuck that, bring that nigga on TV. And I was like, hell yeah, man. I used to read all kind of shit about Betty White. My grandma used to fuck with Betty White heavy, bro. Watching the Golden Girls and shit all fucking day on her TV up on the hill, man. So that's crazy to just think about. We lost Betty White. Everybody was plotting to celebrate her 100th birthday with her. She passed like a couple of weeks before her birthday. And that's wild, man. She didn't even make it into the new year. But that's crazy. Like I said, I send my condolences to her family. And I wouldn't expect the younger generation to know who these two people are for real. I mean, I know y'all know who they are. But the impact, you know, people, you see it all on social media. Yada, yada, yada. It's like y'all don't really grasp the severity of, you know, we're losing a lot of goats out here, man. For real. And I the only reason I'm lucky, like, I grew up with both of these actors always on and playing and shit, because, like, my grandma, she used to watch us all the time. And at my grandma's house, bro, that TV, we ain't touched that bitch. The only person touched that TV was my grandma and Flap. And it was on Golden Girls, the Soap Opera channel, or the old movie channel, bro. So we saw Sidney Poitier a lot, and we saw the Golden Girls a hell of a lot. So, you know, we pretty much grew up with it, man. So it's just wild. It's crazy, man. Those two deaths right there, you know, they will be missed. They did live a good life. They both made it into their 90s. Betty White made it to her late 90s. Sidney Poitier made it to 94. That's a hell of a life, bro. And, man, this next death, bro, like, I've been waiting to talk about this for a while. It happened so suddenly, bro. I know y'all being like, oh, you late, but I don't care. I'm going to talk about it because I wanted to talk about it as soon as it happened, bro. By now, I know y'all already know, heard the news. Y'all found out everything going on. We lost Dolph, man. We lost Dolph. Like, I really didn't have the words, man, when I saw the news. I really did not. Adolph Thornton Jr., bro, Dolph, was tragically gunned down in his hometown of Memphis, bro. Like, I was straight up dead for words. The only thing I could say was really, like, really, another one, bro. And Dolph at that. Like, the shit just don't make no sense, man. Like, everybody knew Dolph. Everybody knew what he was about. And, I mean, you got to see it from both sides. Dolph was in the streets. He had street affiliations. And it's no surprise that what happened, happened. But, I mean, it happened so suddenly, dog. That's what got me. It happened so suddenly. And, bruh ain't deserve that, man, especially in his own hood. When I go, I want to go in my city. If I'm still, like, if I settled in my city, when I pass on, but I don't want to go like that in my own city. Nobody deserves to go out like that in their own city, bro. Like, aside from the street affiliations, though, luckily, Dolph was smart. Aside from the street shit, Dolph was an amazing businessman and CEO. The way he carried himself, he took care of his team, his family, his kids, his artists. He owned his masters, bro, had a crazy portfolio, real estate, everything is taken care of. Bro bought his kids a house every year paid for, so that's theirs, and they'll continue to get money through the generations on that. So Dolph really set them up for that. So we got to give that man his flowers on the business side as well as the music side, too. It's just a damn shame, bro. A man can't go get a damn cookie. What else? Some street shit going down, man. Bro got shot at the cookie spot. Black-owned cookie spot in Memphis, bro, that he always promoted. Bro got shot down in front of that bitch. And he was in the city to do something for the city, bro. He was down there for a turkey drive. And he was trying to do something for the community. And that same community gunned him down, bro. And then what got me was them ignorant motherfuckers on the internet, bro. I swear, social media be killing me sometimes. Social media really just make me not want to be a part of it. Like, social media had me so pissed off when I heard the news about Dolph. I just couldn't be on it. It was folks all on there like, it just happened. Like, the shooting just happened. Dolph hanging out the window of the damn cookie spot. These folks got his dead body, glass everywhere. People still screaming police and shit there. You got folks up there live streaming of this shit. His body, his family probably found out that he had died through social media. And I feel like that's fucked up. And then you got people all on social media 5 minutes after this man got shot, giving their opinions on who did it, who did this, and who did that. Posting old mugshots of black youngster from a long ass time ago trying to make some shit up. Then they posted a video of the crime scene still after live screening the shit. Like, police ain't even get a chance to tell the man family, y'all. That's what's killing me. They ain't even put up the damn up the yellow tape, made a crime scene yet. Like, it's wild. A son, a family, loved ones had to find out that they loved one died on social media. That's fucked up. It's fucked up, bro. And social media really be killing me. And they said, like, that's why I'm like, they say there's no such thing as bad publicity, you know, with the social media shit, but there is a such thing as immoral publicity. And this man died, and some of y'all have no respect at all for this man's death. And it's sad. It's just disrespectful and immoral, bro. Man was a human being, and he deserved to just be live streamed and shit. That's why the social media be gassing all kind of people. The shit people do for likes kill me. Shit people do for likes kill me, bro. It will always never surprise me. Then you had all kind of other people on social media and shit talking about Key Glock, about how he deleted all his social media, how he ain't said nothing about the statement. I'm like, bro, I know he ain't said nothing, bro. That man grieving, bro. That man is real deal sad. He just lost his cousin, his best friend, like his ace boom cool, and y'all worried about some get back. Y'all worried about some social media street shit, bro. That man grieving. He talking to his family. He trying to explain this shit to Dolph kids. His girl, bro, man, shit was wild. Shit was wild. Like I said, man, I was praying for the family, the business owners. They had to deal with that. The streets of Memphis is wild, bro. That whole month was just crazy. And so the social media, y'all got to get this shit together. Certain shit don't deserve to be put out like that. And like I said before, you know, usually celebrity deaths don't get me down like that. But I done been rocking with Dolph for a long time. And way, way back in the day when I first got on them, bro, when I was still listening to Wiz and 2 Chainz back in high school, back when the only two folks I knew who even fucked with Dolph heavy was my boy Suge and Winston. Them the only two people I knew who fucked with Dolph heavy, and that nigga Winston put me on back in 2010, man. And it was over after that, bro. Especially after high school when I went to college and shit. Nobody even for real fucked with Dolph like that. Like, I didn't, you know, like, bro didn't fuck with Dolph. They didn't fuck with Dolph in college until, like, 2015. And From that point on, Dolph had the college crowd in a chokehold. Like, he had everybody, man, through the 2015 and 2016 on up. Like, he had Troy University on lock, nigga. Like, shit, everybody playing Dolph. You know what I'm saying? So, it was such an impactful for me, man. Even the opening to my podcast is a Dolph tag, nigga. Hey, nigga, that's Dolph. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm paying homage to this man when he was still alive. That's how much I fuck with Dolph. And so just to see this right here, man, like, it really fucked me up. That man really gave me inspiration to just boss up on the daily. And so I say this, the whole situation was just wild for me, y'all. But if you're going to remember, bro, if you're going to remember Dolph, man, quit with the negative shit on social media. Play bro music. You know, it did brighten up my day when he had passed for a couple of weeks. I was riding through the city, man, all through Phoenix City and Columbus, and I heard everybody just blasting Dolph, you know, just blasting all out the windows and shit, man. Shit was crazy. And, you know, shit was beautiful, man. Like, it was wild. And now you got people, like, Memphis was in a war zone after that man had passed, bro. It was just everybody trying to find a shooter, which they done identified possible suspects now, like somebody named Straight Drop. And this stupid-ass nigga, the damn crime scene, the getaway vehicle, like, he did a video with the damn car in the video, the same car, and this stupid-ass nigga was on the run. So now they got him and somebody else in custody, you know, as possible suspects, but shit was crazy, man. Shit. Gone too soon, man. Rest in peace, Dolph. Long live Dolph, man. Music-wise for me, man, you know, earlier I explained that, like, music became overwhelming for me for a while, so I was only listening to certain stuff. Like, and I don't mean I was tired of, like, just a specific kind of music, which I was, but in the grand scheme of things, bro, I was just tired of, like, all sound for a while. I don't know. I guess it was me and my thoughts. Like, my mental was just so fluctuated, and normally I go to music for my peace, and it was conflicting with me, and I didn't like that. So, like, bro, it was sometimes I got in the car, I ain't play the radio. Like, no music connected, no Bluetooth, none of that. And it went on like that for, like, probably like a month and a half, y'all. I ain't bullshitting. Like, it was just, I was just overwhelmed, man, in my head. So I was like, okay, I got to start listening to some type of music. And like, when I dove back into like listening to music, you know, that I fuck with heavy, I couldn't listen to no, I didn't want to listen to no negative ass, no substance, violent ass music, bro. I couldn't listen to trap for a minute. I couldn't listen to no drill music. I couldn't listen to no music that wasn't going to benefit my mental element, bro. So, like, straight up, all I could listen to, all I needed was something with some substance, some soul, and good-ass rap album, nigga. And what I was really fucking with, my boy Wayne, he reminded me, man, that Ari Lennox had a song called Ying Ling, because I was talking, he had him with my favorite Bill Wood. I was like, Ying Ling. He was like, Ari Lennox, boy. And then he had brought up a post I had put. It was like, what female song do you play unapologetically that's from a woman? And, you know, everybody put all kind of shit, bro. And I had put one of Ari Lennox songs. And my boy Wayne was like, that Ari Lennox song, that Ying Ling, I play that shit all the time, but unapologetically. So he reminded me about Ari Lennox's first album. And I went back and listened to it, man, that full EP. And I didn't forget about the album. It's just a simple fact that she done put out so much good music since then that I have not revisited it. And it's a short album, y'all. It's like 7 songs. And the whole thing is good. Like, it is, bro. And Ari Lennox, I know I said that I specifically didn't want to hear no R&B or no trap or no violent shit like that. But Ari Lennox, she R&B, but y'all realize she damn no soul, bro. Ari Lennox so fucking soulful. Like, she so soul. She country soulful, nigga. And, like, kind of ratchet. And it's the perfect vibe for me. That's why I fuck with Ari Lennox hard, like heavy. But yeah, man, that 4 EP, the Ying Ling, Backseat, Night Drive, like the whole album hit. And that was the one that, you know, brought me out of my slump for real, for real. And the other album that I'm pretty sure I done said, you know, one or two things about it before. But look, the most slept on Outkast album, easily, in my opinion, is Speaker Box, The Love Below. Like, that's just me, because people be like, oh, I want him like the other albums. And I don't know. I guess maybe I done listened to this album so many times from top to bottom that I done got it down to a T. I done diagnosed it. I know what's going on in the album with every little thing. But look, man, first off, people be saying that the first half is a Big Boy's album. The second half is Andre 3000 album. Look, man, y'all don't know shit about being on the team. The whole album is an Outkast album. That's what I meant with that. From top to bottom, if y'all don't think that this is a top-tier Outkast album, you really just need to re-listen to it, bro. You need to re-listen to it a couple times from top to bottom. It's long than a motherfucker, don't get me wrong. But you need to listen to it from top to bottom. Because, like, it just talked to you, man. It talked to you. And for me, it's the second half of the album. Because, like, shit, Andre 3000 had to vent, nigga. He was venting on this whole album. Like, all through the album, that nigga was in love, hurt. He just needed to vent all these feelings, bro. Like, in his other albums, he had talked shit about past relationships with Miss Jackson, all kind of other shit. All the albums, he even talked his shit about the women that he done dealt with. But you can tell right here, man, this nigga's hurt. He done lived life, all kind of shit, and he going through it. And this, he put it all on a pad, nigga. Wrote it down with a pad and pencil. All from Behold the Lady, Love and War, The Letter, My Favorite Things, and the song that I just had on repeat was Vibrate. That was damn near my mantra for like two, three weeks. I gotta vibrate higher, nigga. I gotta boss up. And shit, and then the closing, man, the last song, A Life in the Day of Benjamin Andre. These songs been holding me down, man. These two albums been really holding me down, especially when I had to dive back into music. I'm glad I dove back in with these two dope-ass artists, dope-ass albums and shit, man. And, okay, so what else? I've been listening to a lot more stuff now, y'all. I done got back to the normal me. I'm here, I promise you. With all this music, I'm back to the normal me. But we ain't gonna talk about all the music I want to today. Like, I definitely want to get into the conversation with y'all about upcoming music and stuff that's coming out. Earth Gang, Cordae just dropped the album, Gunna dropped the album. Fucking stuff I gotta talk about down the road. Cooking Soul been on it with all making all his beats and collabing and stuff. Currency, Ross, Les. I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk about with y'all, but we ain't got the time this week. So we're going to talk about it on another episode next week. But before, on this episode today, we're going to talk about a couple more artists. Shout out to my boy Wiz, man. Wiz was one of those artists, too. He was legit next in line when I hopped on him. It went Ari Lennox, motherfucking Andre 3000, Big Boy, Outkast, that whole album. And then I switched right over to this Wiz. It was like a loop. You know what I'm saying? It was like a constant loop. Wiz had dropped the album, finally, and he dropped it in collab with Cardo and Sledrick. And, man, when I tell y'all, I was happy as fuck to see this shit come out, man, because, like, Cardo and Sledrick, you know, that's what he dealt with back in the early days, bruh. He had the original sound, that Wiz sound that I associate with Wiz Heavy, that got me on, made me an actual fan. You know what I'm saying? Back when it was that stoner chill, classic ass, melodic Wiz, bruh. That Wiz that we knew and loved back from that era. Like I said, the Taylor All the Dice, the Cushion OJ, the Cabin Fever type Wiz. And Wiz, man, Wiz has really been hit or miss. Straight up, like, hit or miss, bro. The music, it been dope. It been something to play. But his albums has far been hit or miss. But, and that hit or miss was roughly in the last, like, 10 years. You know, consistently through, like, the 10 years, it's been hit or miss. But when I tell you, in the last couple of years, it's been more hit for me. Because I did fuck with the last album he had put out. Before he had put out this one, it's called Wiz Got Wings. A couple of albums back, I fucked with 2009 that he had did with Currency, and I fucked with Laugh Now Fly Later from 2017. I fucked with that one heavy, and I liked that one because it gave me that old Wiz sound too. So I was happy to hear that shit. And this album right here, the Wiz Got Wings, it's good to hear that sound. Because, like y'all know, Wiz went from a strictly stoner environment, like a stoner sound that you want to hear when you geek, relaxing, chilling, smoking. You smoke, go get something to eat. Man, it took me back to, like, the days when I was happiest. You know what I'm saying? Like, that music that I was really fucking with back then. That's what this album took me back to. And I associated with that. Because Wiz made music for that type of crowd. And he has a whole nother audience, bro. And it's for, like, the stoners and the kids who like to go to the festivals and jump around and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm past all that, but those are the two audiences he got, bro. And then he really broke out when he started making all these fucking songs and got the country crowd, the people who listen to country music and shit, real heavy on his side. Like, Wiz got the black community and the white community in the fucking chokehold, nigga. And black folks fuck with the old Wiz, white folks fuck with the goddamn new Wiz. And, like, it's crazy like that. And Wiz know it. But I honestly think he is getting back to, I don't want to say what he know, because, you know what I'm saying, but he getting back to that old sound back when he put out those first couple of albums, those early mixtapes. And I'm digging it for that, bro. Like, on this Wiz Got Wings, it's 14 songs, a little longer. But like I said, it's with Cardo and Sledger, so I ain't give a fuck. I was just happy to hear it for real. Like, and I definitely, it supports my theory even more, man, when I say that it goes back to his old sound, because he got the Kid Frankie Part 2 on this album. And the original Kid Frankie was on Cushion OJ. So it was dope to see that right there, man. And the Kid Frankie Part 2 actually sound pretty dope. And shit, that Can't Stay Sober, I fought with that heavy on the album. The Personal Party, the Dr. Dankenstein, I had listened to that in the car. Because I was like, I don't mean the song straight, man. I got to hit this bitch in the car. I went to the car, man. That bitch hitting. Like, shout out to Wiz, bro. Wiz, you need to continue to put out albums like this Wiz Got Wings. 2009 and Laugh Now, Fly Later. I really didn't fuck with Rolling Papers 2 that heavy, Fly Times Volume 1, or The Saga of Wiz Khalifa. I ain't fuck with them like that. You know, you had a few songs that I did fuck with here and there on the album, but as a complete project, man, I definitely think you need to go back to the sound that you just put out with this new album. Back to your old sound, man. Like, straight up. You done made enough music for that crowd, but we want you back. And that's how I feel about that. And continuing on, you know what I'm saying, going on with the loop of the music that I had put back into the lineup when I was going on with music. Rare Spliff. I fuck with Rare Spliff heavy, y'all. He an artist originally from Birmingham. Stoner's Retreat 2. He dropped Stoner's Retreat 2. And it's just as good as Stoner's Retreat 1, man. Straight up. I definitely recommend y'all get on the kid, because bro really is going to be the next wave. And I say this because going off of that Wiz, you know, straight up from like a stoner type vibe, I feel like it was only fitting to, you know, fuck with Rare Spliff heavy next up, because he just dropped the album and he be on his own wave with the same smoking sound and chill type vibe, you know what I'm saying? So, Stoner's Retreat 2, which he just dropped, I definitely recommend y'all check that bitch out. That Bobby Boucher on that bitch, hard, bro. The samples that my man got on this album right here are dope. I'm glad he got all this stuff cleared. Bro, lyrics are dope. I just like the whole vibe he got going on. And you can definitely tell bro got his own character. He ain't trying to bite nobody vibe. And shit, it just seemed like everything all cool with him, bro. I definitely want to get bro for an interview one of these days. I gotta check bro out. I just feel like it'll be good to meet him. Goddamn, good to check in with him, have him sit down in the podcast, bro. I feel like it'll be a dope ass smoke session, you know what I'm saying? So definitely y'all check that bitch out, cause every song on this bitch hard. Bobby Boucher, Cool Cat, Hot Spliff, nigga, Taco Tuesday, probably my favorite song on this bitch. Taco Tuesday so fucking hard, bro. But yeah, man, Rare Spliff, you was definitely in that rotation. You got me back into the swing of things, man. Appreciate you on that one.